Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 1043 The Fan. We're going right to the phones, and joining us is one of the probably most accomplished tournament walleye fishermen in the state of Colorado. He is on both the Professional Walleye Tour and other local and regional tournament trails. He's also a pro staffer for people like Lowrance. He's part of the Fishful Thinker group, and you see any guides. Dan Swanson. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, you know, there's a presentation that ripped through the last decade of the walleye fishing industry. And I got to admit that it hasn't been a strength of mine. And I had Al Linder on earlier, but I had him talk about something else because I wanted to go right to an expert source on this, somebody I trusted. So I blew Al off and I thought, I'm going to get Dan Swanson on. And anyway, but Dan, in all seriousness, I haven't fished. I'm going to be up in Minnesota, but this is a technique you can use here, but I'm going to be up in Minnesota probably using this the next couple of days. And that's the slow death rig. And it's really a revolutionary presentation. Can you tell us about the presentation and a few tips on fishing it?
Well, I'll tell you what, it started back in the late 90s, early 2000s, with guys who were just taking Aberdeen hooks and they were bending them with this strange bend in it. So kind of an S-shaped bend, and then threading a night crawler on it, and that would spin as you pulled it through the water. Since that time, companies have been making these, so you don't have to bend them yourself. You can go buy your own. So Berkeley is making this new hook. It just came out, I think, last year. It's called the Fusion Rotating Hook, and in a size 2 hook. And the way the thing works is you thread a night crawler on from the hook all the way up to the hook eye. And this Fusion hook's got a barb sticking out the end, so it helps hold the night crawler on. So I usually thread it just past the knot. And then I use about 2 fingers behind the hook after the worm is out straight with the hook hanging underneath it. I pinch off the crawler about 2 fingers behind that hook. And then the idea is that you rig it on a bottom bouncer with about a 4-foot leader. And you pull it through the water at 1 to 1.2 miles an hour, because that's about how fast you need to go in order for the worm to spin. And then the crawler actually spins around, and it looks like something live going through the water. It's been a deadly combination. I have gotten to the point where I'll run a regular crawler harness with a spinner on it on one rod and the slow death on the other. And in my experience, the slow death's been out fishing regular spinners.
Now, in most cases, you're not putting a spinner or a bead on the slow death. Is that right? Just the crawler?
Well,
do you dress it up?
Absolutely. There's times when you want to put a little colored bead on it, perhaps as an attractor, whether it's chartreuse or orange or whatever color you like. I've been doing really well with the Mylar winged blades. I think Max is one of the brands that makes them, the Max Smile blades. And I thread those. I put a bead on first, then I put the blade in front of that. And the nice thing is that thing will spin really fast. And there are some days when they want that blade, and some days they don't care. Because I've been fishing Carter Lake lately, and I haven't even bothered with the blade. I've been catching lots and lots of walleyes on this rig without having to put any blades on it.
Now, when you talk about using a bottom bouncer, obviously I have fished tons of bottom bouncers. I've done magazine articles, newspaper articles, TV shows on bottom bouncers. And we all approach bottom bouncers a little differently. Is there certain depths you find this to be effective? Does it get too shallow? Does it get too deep? What weight and size bottom bouncers do you tend to use?
Well, I use a 2-ounce bottom bouncer most of the time because it'll cover a good range of depth. But my rule of thumb is 1 ounce of bottom bouncer for every 10 feet of water that you're going to fish. So, 10 feet, use a 1-ouncer, a foot and a half, or 15 feet, use a 1.5-ouncer, 20 feet, use a 2-ouncer. But I generally fish that 15 to 25 feet. Is what I've been finding, at least recently. And so the 2-ounce bouncer covers that. The idea is to go 1.2 miles an hour, or 1 mile an hour, like I said, to get that thing, the crawler to spin. But you want your line running at about a 45-degree angle going into the water. And then you got your depth, your weight just about right.
Now, I agree with you 100%. I fish 2-ounce bottom bouncers with spinners, probably 90% of the time, no matter what depth, because I can keep track of it easily. It doesn't flare out behind me, yet it keeps them down in a little deeper water and running those speeds. Now, a spinner might put a little more drag. I don't know, but you're running it pretty slow. Do you find that if you get too shallow is it too close to the boat? Does it have to be deep enough so that the fish aren't spooked by the boat?
Well, I think it depends a lot on water clarity. So if you got really clear water, you need a lighter weight to get away from the boat, because you will spook fish if they can see the boat. Generally, our water is dirty enough that 15 feet of water is plenty depth to be able to running underneath the boat.
Okay, now what are some of the lakes you've had real success? You know, you mentioned Carter. Carter's a little different lake. It doesn't have some of the pelagic forage some of our other lakes do. Horsetooth's a whole nother animal, and Boyd, I know you fish all of those. Do you use this approach on all three of those lakes?
I do, and one of the things that I've found is that with Carter, I think those fish are hungry, and I think they're feeding on crayfish and bloodworms and stuff like that, so they're pretty easy to catch with just a plain hook. On Horsetooth, I actually do better with a black mylar blade on it, and in the 15 to 25 foot range is generally where I've been catching them, and they seem to want that, but I don't seem to do as well with just a regular spinner. And then Boyd Lake, the slow death's been working well there, and I generally run blades on that one as well. So it's just, you know, you just got to play around and let the fish try different presentations, and then figure out which one works, and then change everything up to do that.
Last question, what's the biggest mistake people make when they're running the slow death rig?
Setting the hook too soon.
Well, I think that's with bottom bouncers.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this with, in our seminars in the past, that you're going to catch more fish with the rod sitting in the rod holder than in your hand.
Yeah, people, when they set the hook, I used to give a tip. I said, watch, because as a guide, you can see your friend's rod tip even better than you feel your own. And I used to tell them, if you want to win some beers, watch your partner's rod tip. As soon as it wiggles, I'd say, you got one, and they'd set the hook and pull it out of their mouth. So, That's really good. Last thing, we got about 30 seconds here. Oh, we got about a minute. Where would you go if you wanted to go out and catch some walleyes? We got some good weather coming this week. Where would you go?
Right now, I would go to Carter if I wanted to catch a bunch of eater-sized walleyes. You can only keep three, and you can't keep any over 20 or 21, if I remember right. But you can keep anything in that 15 to 20-foot range, or 20-foot, 15 to 20-inch range, which are, really good eaters. And then there's quite a few of them up there. Boyd Lake's been a little slow right now. They're starting to get a few on guys that are pulling lead core and flicker shads. They're doing all right on those. Horsetooth is just, it's been tough all year, but I'm getting a few on jigging spoons. So I think as the water cools, I think Horsetooth is going to pick up, as well as all of them will, on jigging spoons and blades and glide baits.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Dan, we got to run, but great information. Now maybe I can successfully fish the slow death rig now. And I'll head up to Minnesota and give it a try. But thank you so much for joining us. If they want to book trips with you guys, fishfulthinker.com?
Yep, that's the best way to reach us.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Terry. Bye.
You bet. Dan Swanson, always a tremendous resource. Great angler. Just always those guys that, all the guys that contribute to this show are tremendous, tremendous anglers. We'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll change things up. We'll take you out to Colorado Clays on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.